How's everybody doing?
Great.
Praise the Lord. I want us to look tonight, and I'm going to call this cooperating with the grace of God. Cooperating with the grace of God. You know, God's grace is not just for us to be saved by. How many of you are glad we're saved by grace? Isn't that, amen? But God's grace is also a continuation. We know God initiated our salvation, but there's a continuation aspect of God's grace. And tonight we want to talk about grace that helps us to stand or makes us strong or helps us from being defeated and gives us victory in life. You know, God didn't just release us into the kingdom and leave us by ourselves. He gave us his word. He gave us his spirit. And of course, his grace. There's an ongoing, if you will, ongoing work of grace that's available to every believer. Grace is not just for the sinner. Sometimes, you know, we look at things from that standpoint, but it's not, that's not the end of things, okay? Just because you got saved. We have a life to live and a work to do for God. So if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 to start with. 1 Peter chapter 4. And we're going to read verses 10 and 11. Amen. Father, we just thank you tonight for your holy word. Father, we thank you that this word is given unto us by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And it is profitable. Tonight, Father, we ask for ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts to understand your word. Father, teach us, guide us, lead us by the mighty Holy Ghost. We'll give you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 1 Peter 4, verse 10. It says here, as every man, every child of God, we would say, has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another. Now notice this next statement, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Manifold grace. Other translations say many-sided grace of God. Others say the many aspects of God's grace, a good steward of it. You know, it would be wrong for us just to lump grace into just one pile or one definition. It's so vast because it comes from God. There's many aspects to that grace. Here in verse 11, he brings out a couple of them. He says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. How many of you know some people have the grace to speak God's word, right? They have the ability. Now, here's what we understand. This grace we're talking about when it comes to ability, it's not natural ability. Even though God, knowing where we would be and what we would be doing, he has placed certain things in us. And of course, when we come to him, it gets magnified. Okay? You've probably heard Pastor Hagin say all of his life, his mother told him, said, you could talk to a fence post. You know people like that? They never met a stranger everywhere they go. I work for a pastor like that in Kentucky. I mean, you go into a restaurant somewhere, and you go sit down, and you look, and where is he? And come, and you say, he'd say, oh, I was talking to so-and-so. Did you know? No, never met him, just talking to him. Just always like that. I'm not necessarily that way. My wife could tell you, am I? But thank God for God's ability. That might be natural, but God has given some people the ability to speak the oracles of God. If any man minister, other translations say, if anyone serves, do it as of the ability which God gives. Notice that God gives both the ability. So the God who gives grace to those to speak gives grace to those to serve. Amen. And really, in God's eyes, there's not one greater than the other. If we all do, you know, if you do what God called you to do, what's he going to say? Well done, good and faithful servant. Right? He's not going to say, well, now you know, Paul, you really had a hard job, so I'm going to give you more. No, he's going to give Paul the reward for what God called him to, and he's going to give everybody else a reward for what he called them to do. We don't have to compare ourselves with the Apostle Paul, right? I just have to do what God called me to do. You have to do what God called you to do. How am I going to do that? By the grace of God. So I've got to learn how to cooperate with that grace. If I'm going to speak of the oracles of God, if I'm going to serve with the ability that God gives, how do I do that? Let's turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I think the Apostle Paul had found out some things about this, and he makes us some statements here that are kind of interesting and about that aspect. Now, we're just going to breach the subject tonight. You know what I mean? Just going to talk a little bit about it here. But you know, there's grace for, I'm going to say it this way, there's grace for every season of life. Amen? You know, I don't know how you guys were, but before we, you know, it's interesting. Before you have children, you think, oh yeah, that's going to be easy until you have them. Okay? You know, I tell people that don't have any kids, I said, don't ever say, well, my kids will never, because that's exactly what they'll do. All right? You don't know. But there's a grace to be a parent, isn't there? Amen? I'm really enjoying this grandparent grace. I don't know about anybody else in here a grandparent. I'm really enjoying that. Somebody said the other day, if I'd have known it was this good, I would have skipped the parenting and just went straight to grandparenting. But I'm really enjoying that, you know. Just, you know, you just love on them and kiss on them and just talk to them. And then they start crying and you go, hand them to mom or dad. It's a wonderful thing, right? Praise the Lord. But there's grace for every season of life. Now, Paul here says in chapter 15 in 1 Corinthians, verse 9, for I am the least of the apostles, that I'm not meet, or that I shouldn't be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Well, Paul, was it the grace working or was it you working? Yes. What Paul's saying here, I learned how to cooperate with God's grace. And I worked hard, but it wasn't really me. It was God's grace in me. And if Paul can say that, how many of you know each one of us can say that? There's grace, you know, if God's called you in the business area, there's grace to be a businessman or woman. If God's called, no matter what God's called you to do, there's a grace to do that. There's an ability from God to do that. And we need to learn how to cooperate with that. But let's look at a few scriptures here. Let's look at Acts chapter 4. So understand as we read these, that these people are cooperating with the grace of God. They're cooperating with the grace of God. It's there. It's available to all of us. But how do we get that grace? How does that grace operate? Now, we're leading somewhere. We're going to read some scriptures here, and then we'll end up with a key that will help us all to operate in that grace. But here in Acts chapter 4, we'll read three different passages from the book of Acts here. But look at Acts chapter 4, verse 33. Now, this is after Peter and John have been, you know, chastised for healing the man on the Sabbath and preaching that Jesus is risen. And he gets down here and says, with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. Now, how did they give witness? Well, it was by that grace. See, great grace was upon them all. They're giving witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. They weren't. All of them by this time, they weren't all eyewitnesses of his resurrection, but they're giving witness that Jesus is alive. How? By the grace of God that was upon them. All right? Look at chapter 11, Acts chapter 11, please. Now here the apostles in Jerusalem have asked Barnabas to go down to Antioch and to encourage them. Verse 23. Who when he came, speaking of Barnabas, and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. Notice that. He saw the grace of God. Where? On them and in them, working with them. It wasn't just that they were Christians, but it was that something was happening in them beyond their salvation. It could be seen. And he exhorted them, hey, stay with the Lord. Hang on to what you're doing here. Stay with it. Don't give up. Now, it's in Antioch. You read down here a little bit later. That's the first place that the followers of Christ were called Christians, was there in Antioch. And Barnabas had a successful time there in ministry. Now let's look at Acts chapter 20. Here in Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is meeting with the the church leaders from the city of Ephesus. He's in Miletus because he didn't go back by Ephesus because of, you know, persecution that had come up there. So he called them all to Miletus, which is a town south of Ephesus that's also on the seacoast. And he met with them there. And these are some of his final words to them. And I don't know, it seems like final words are important. The final words of Jesus, how many of you know, wait in Jerusalem until you receive power, right? The Holy Ghost, that was important, wasn't it? Go into all the world and preach. How many of you know that was important? These final words. Now here's some of Paul's final words to these whom he had raised up. He says in verse 32, Acts 20, verse 32, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Now notice here, what's he called the word here? The word of his grace. And notice that it is able. That means it has the ability to do what? To build you up and to give you the inheritance. I like how the Message says this. He said, "Now I'm turning you over to God, our marvelous God, whose gracious word can make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need in this community of holy friends." I like that. Whose gracious word can make you into what he wants you to be and give you everything you could possibly need. But how many of you have realized this? You've got to cooperate with the word of God, act on the word of God before that ability goes into effect. Before you made a decision to believe on Jesus, to believe God raising from the dead, you didn't become a Christian. It's when you acted on that. It's when you set off and you purposely acted on that, that took place in your life. And did you notice that when you decided to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's no power on earth, under the earth, any place that can stop it from happening. Isn't that right? You became a Christian when you made that decision. And think about that. It really is that way with everything with God. Anything in the Word of God. Once you make a decision that word is true, and you start cooperating with that word by acting on it, by saying what it says, and living in accordance with it, you are no power on earth or under the earth can stop it from, or above the earth. Okay? No principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, this world, any of that can stop it from taking place. Praise the Lord. Let's go to the book of Romans now. Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. I think the last time we were here, we talked about the righteousness of God and how that the righteous, live by faith, and how that in the Word of God, the righteousness of God is revealed from that Word, and that we have right standing with God, not anything we've done, but through the Lord Jesus Christ. But in order for that righteousness to be ours and be imputed to us, we have to believe. That's our part. That's how God has set it up to work. Have you ever thought about it this way, in this? Let's say that I decided to deposit a large sum of money in your account, your bank account. Okay? Any of you like that to happen? Well, it's not going to. But not right now, at least. Maybe someday. But let's say I did. But let's say, and I told you, hey, I put $1 million in your bank account. There you go. Praise the Lord. But you know what? That money will never benefit you if you don't do something about it. You have to learn how the bank is going to allow you to access that money, right? And then, not just knowing how to access it, you've got to go do what the bank said to access that money. Well, if God has given us his grace and given us his word and has given us righteousness, we have to know how God said we are to access it. That's what we're talking about tonight. How do we access this great thing called grace that's been given to us of God, that is of God? How do we access that into our life? Okay. Now here in Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, therefore, or because, you know, I heard Charles Capps say years ago, how many of you ever heard of Brother Charles Capps? He was a great teacher, went on to be with the Lord here several years ago. But I know there in the It was interesting, in about the middle 90s, Brother Hagin announced at Camp Meeting. He said, you know, he said, I'm going to start doing some other things. He said, not teach on faith as much. God told me there's people that can teach faith just as good as you or better. One of them is Charles Capps, pointed right at him. That's quite a compliment, you know, to have that said. But he was an outstanding teacher of the Word of God. He said, anytime you see therefore, go back and find out what it's there for. Okay? That's good. Now, that's when you go home, find out what's there for. We don't have time right now. But he says, therefore, because of what I've just said, being justified or declared righteous by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice this. By whom also we have access, here we're getting ready to see it, ready? By faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Now, he just told us there how to access that grace. How is it? By or through faith. All right. How are you going to access? Faith would be, faith is God's way to access what he's given you. The same way the bank has a certain way you have to access. You could call it, faith could be, you want to call it your debit card. You want to call it your check writing ability. You want to call it going making a withdrawal. Faith is what makes withdrawals from what God has already provided for us through grace. Yes. See, the thing about grace is already thought ahead of time. It's already provided ahead of time what you need, even when you don't know you need it. It's kind of like, you know, you read in Genesis chapter 1. Did you ever notice God created the heavens and the earth before he put man in it? Do you ever think about that? He didn't tell him, now, look, over there on the east side of the garden, I'm not quite done with that yet. Stay out of it. No, he completed, then put his man. Male and female created he them, he said, and put them in the garden to watch it, to keep it, over to be in charge of it. Amen? And so, it's access by faith, this grace. Here's another way to think of it. How many of you have ever picked an apple off of an apple tree? Or any type of fruit off a tree. Now, I'll give you credit. You might have planted that tree, but really, the whole way the tree works, that wasn't your idea. That's God's idea, right? And so in essence, if you planted the tree, it's because God created the earth to work this way. And so that tree grew up. You might have taken care of it, and that's great. You need to do that. Take care of things like that. But when that tree, when it was came to maturity, it started growing fruit. Apples. An apple tree has apples, right? And so there they sit. Now, you really don't want to wait till they fall on the ground because then they start to rot, right? But then you don't want to get it too early. You got to know when they're ripe, when they're ripe. But if you want to partake of that apple that's been grown for you by the tree, or really we could say by God, you have to reach out with your hand. And you have, sometimes you have to, have any of you ever gotten a ladder to get up there to them? Or sometimes, you know, they've got a bucket, a thing, a catcher, you know, that takes with a cage, and they'll start, but you have to actually do something to reach up and get a hold of that apple. All right? And then if you want to taste the apple, you got to put it in your hand and you got to bring it to your mouth. Right? Now, how we survived without washing that apple off when we were young? We didn't wash it off. We didn't clean it up. We just ate the apple, right? Like we stood in the middle of the car when our parents drove. We just stood there right in the middle. How did we ever do it? Never wore a helmet on our bicycle. We lived. I don't know how we lived, you know. I guess we didn't know we weren't supposed to live by doing that stuff. But anyway, you have actually got to reach up and take hold of it. That's what faith does with what God has given. Faith reaches up and takes hold of what grace has provided. You can't. Listen, if there was no grace, there would be nothing to operate or to use faith upon. If there was no grace. But without faith, there's nothing, there's no way to receive what grace has done. Now, whose idea is this? Whose Bible, whose word is this? God's, right? Paul not making this up. This is what God's saying to us. It's written for our account. Okay? That we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand. Now look over in verse 17 of chapter 5. I like this one here. For if by one man's offense death reigned, that's talking about Adam, died, much more they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Jesus Christ. Now, there's a very, very important word there. Receive. Receive. How do we receive anything from God? Through the avenue of faith. If I'm going to, if I'm going to go again, to receive means to make a demand upon or to reach out and take hold of. If I'm going to go to the bank, in order for me to receive, I've got to do the way they said to do it. And how many of you know, you got to show an ID. Well, our ID is we're in Christ. That's why we use the name of Jesus. That identifies us. Glory to God. You can't, you remember in the book of Acts, the seven sons of Sceva, I believe it's Acts 19, they tried to cast out devils in the name of Jesus, whom Paul preaches. See, they didn't have a right to use the ID of Jesus. We have been given that right. We can use his name. They didn't have the right to use his name. Hallelujah. So he says here, we will reign in life if we receive abundance of grace. Not just a little bit of grace, but abundance, just like Pastor Craig says in John 10:10, I've come that you might have life and have it what? More abundantly. Here we say the abundance of grace. Not just a little, but enough for you, enough for me, enough for everybody. Abundance of grace. And the gift of righteousness. Now notice this. We reign in life, the Amplified says, as kings in life. Glory to God. How many of you know a king doesn't have a whole lot of needs? They're taken care of. Our God has made us through his grace, but we have to learn how to cooperate with that. Now look at Colossians, if you would please. Colossians chapter 3. So we see the word of God, faith in that word. How does faith come? Faith comes by what? Hearing by the word of God. And it's not just casual hearing, it's active hearing. You're listening on purpose. Listening on purpose. There's nothing wrong with having the Bible playing. Some people listen to the Bible on being read on as they're driving around. But sometimes, and that's good. I wouldn't say anything against that. But you got to actively hear the word to actively receive faith from it. There's an active aspect of this, okay? I would hesitate to jump in with any type of teaching that's making you that would say you don't have to do anything. All you have to do is just be passive and let God. God has done it all. Well, yes, he has done it all. But then he told me how I get the benefit of what he's done. And so I have to do my part in that. And we all have to do that. So Colossians 3, I like this, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. I love this. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. You see, there's even grace to help you worship God. There's grace available there. But I like that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, richly. Richly there meaning a full supply. That's generally what the Bible, when it talks about riches, it's talking about being fully supplied, having a full supply. We don't use the word as much as we used to, but an example of the way this is used would be to take a sponge. How many of you have seen a sponge without water? You can tap it on the counter, it's just hard, right? But you can fill that, you can put that sponge in water or fill it up with water, take it out, and then set it there on the counter. And if it's a good sponge, it'll just sit there until you poke it. See, a good sponge won't let that water out. It holds the water. It holds onto it until pressure's put on. But what happens if you push on that sponge? What comes out? Water. So you could say that sponge is rich with water. That the word rich used to be used that way. We don't use it that way. We'd say it's full. But it's rich with water. That's the way we're supposed to be with the Word of God. We're supposed to be so rich or so full of the Word of God, anything of life pokes up against us, the first thing that comes out of us is what? The Word of God. Amen. Amen. So let that Word dwell in you richly. And when we do that, we can sing with grace and our hearts to the Lord. 2 Timothy chapter 2. There are so many scriptures concerning this that it's... Well, it'd be good if I turned to 2 Timothy rather than 1 Timothy. Those of you who have never made a mistake can cast the first stone at me there. I'm not expecting a whole lot of rocks. All right? I love this verse here. Paul's exhortation to Timothy, this young man who had a spiritual heritage through his mother and his grandmother, who'd been taught the Word of God, and whom Paul had brought up in ministry, and had actually, God had used Paul to lay hands on him, to commission him, and to prophesy over him. But Timothy had, because of his age and different things, he had the tendency to, he was a young man, to not operate in the fullness of what God had, and a little bit of fear there. But, God told him, what did Paul tell him? God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, power, love, and a sound mind. Then he gets over here in chapter 2, verse 1, and he tells him this: "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus." Strong, glory to God. Strong in the grace. See, grace will make you strong. There's strength in grace. There's strength. Why? Because you're operating in the ability of God. How many of you think, is God weak in any area? No. So if grace is of God, then when you're in grace, you're in a position of strength. Strong in the grace. Strong in the grace. Now, where is that grace located? In Jesus Christ. In Christ Jesus. Glory to God. So be strong in that. Be strong in that. Well, how are we going to do that? Through the Word of God and through acting in faith on that Word. Acting in faith on it. Praise the Lord. Now, the last scripture we want to read is Ephesians 2. This one explains it probably as well as any that I think that I know of concerning this. There's so many more scriptures we could read. But this one, for our sake, we'll finish with this tonight. Ephesians chapter 2. Now, he'd been talking about who we used to be before we came to Christ, but now, God's rich in mercy there in verse 4. He talks about we've been raised together with Christ, seated with him in heavenly places. He's going to show us in the ages to come the riches of his grace, or you could say the fullness of his grace. All right, and then verse 8. Hallelujah. "For by grace are you saved." How many of you are saved here tonight? All right. Well, how did it happen? By grace. Now, let's stop for a moment. Let's talk about that word saved. That word, Scofield in his Bible, on the note of Romans chapter 1, verse 16. In Romans 1:16, Paul says, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to everyone who believes unto salvation, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." The power of God unto salvation. He says, Scofield in his notes, in the Scofield Bible, the old Scofield Bible, he says that the word, the Greek and Hebrew words for grace, or for salvation and saved, the Greek words especially, he said it's the all-inclusive word of the gospel, gathering into it all that God has accomplished through Christ. He said it includes deliverance. It includes salvation. It includes safety. It includes healing, and it includes, there's one more there, and I can't remember the top of my head. What? It carries that with it. But he says it's everything God has done in Christ is found in that word saved here. In fact, sozo, the word that's translated the Greek word. Now, I'm not a Greek scholar. I can't read Greek, but I can read what Greek scholars said about it. Tell us that this word saved here, there's other places in the New Testament. You remember when Jesus told the woman in Mark chapter 5, "Your faith has made you whole"? Same exact word as this one, sozo. Your faith has healed you. Your faith has saved you. Wholeness. So he says here, "For by grace are you saved. For by grace are you delivered. For by grace are you kept safe. For by grace are you strengthened. For by grace are you healed." How? Through faith. Through faith. And that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God. Well, I had somebody ask me, "Well, what's the gift of God? The grace, the salvation, or the faith?" I said, "Yes, all three. All three of it. I'm not earning any. It all comes from God." Think about it. By grace I'm saved. Well, healed. That comes from him. And how do I get faith? Through the Word of God. Faith comes by hearing his Word. God has put faith in his Word. In other words, when I go to his Word and I believe it, I make a decision to believe it, then faith is deposited in me, and then I can act on what it says. How? By the grace of God. It's all God's gift to us. For by grace Are you saved through faith? We're talking about grace that helps us be strong tonight. Grace, that aspect of God's grace, of the manifold grace of God, the many-sided grace of God, that helps us to be strong and victorious in life. Well, how do we access that? Through the Word of God and through faith, acting in faith. Now, I'm not talking about a formula of faith. We're not here tonight to talk about, you know, how many times you got to confess it, even though saying what you believe is important, isn't it? Saying what you believe is important. I think it's interesting, you know, Jesus said in Mark 11:23, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, whosoever, that's you or me, shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he says will come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he says. Well, you think about that. How come that works? Because God said it would. Well, what's that? That's God's grace. I'm not saying it. I'm not speaking to the mountain in my own power, my own ability. I can talk to a mountain all day long and it just stand there and look at me. Mountain represents the obstacle in your life, whatever it is. But when you go to the Word of God and you find out from God's Word what it says about this situation, for instance, you've got bills to pay, right? Anybody in here that doesn't have bills to pay? I want to live with you. But you got bills to pay, okay? Well, God knows that. But he said he would supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus, right? He knows that. So I have a right then to speak to that need and say, you're met in Jesus' name. Debt be removed, glory to God. Now, that doesn't mean I just sit around and do nothing. How many of you know the electric company doesn't like it a whole lot if I don't send them a payment? We're calling, we're just wondering, are you going to send your payment? I'm speaking to the payment. Okay. When's that payment going to come? Well, I'm speaking to it. I told it that it was met in Jesus' name. They don't understand that. That doesn't mean we don't do that. We speak to it, yes. Amen. You see, don't get weird. Okay? Don't just take your brain out and lose all common sense when you think you're living by faith. You know, I know back there in times past, people thought living by faith meant quit thy job. Well, the Bible says if you don't work, don't eat. So that should have been quit thy eating too also. I found this, that people still like to eat. No, living by faith doesn't mean you quit your job. Amen. Living by faith means you become a better employee. You become a better worker. Now, if God moves you to something else, thank God for it. And go on. But it doesn't mean quit doing nothing. Again, anytime, faith doesn't mean passive, even though we rest in faith, because we're not working it. We're thanking God. And he's working it. I worked more abundantly than they all. Not I, but the grace of God in me. Well, who's working, Paul? You or the grace? Yes, we're both working. Amen. All right. Well, that's just a little study tonight on how to cooperate, a little starter on how to cooperate with grace. And that is through the acting on the Word of God and living by faith. Faith receives what grace has provided. Amen. Father, we just thank you tonight for your holy and written word. We thank you, Father God. I ask that this word would rise up and live big within each one of us. And Father, show us even things that we weren't able to say tonight. Teach each and every one how they can apply this to their life in a greater way. Father, we thank you for your word. Hallelujah. Thank you for your word. Father, hallelujah. Forever your word is settled in heaven. It is a lamp, a light into our path, a lamp into our feet, Lord. We give you praise and honor tonight for your holy and written word. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. For each and every one that's here tonight. Again, that this word would rise up and live big within them. Teach them, guide them, show them things to come as need be by your Spirit in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Just a moment here. We're going to dismiss. If you need prayer for anything, we're going to have Glenn and Heather come up. They are our prayer workers, altar workers tonight. You can come up. They'll pray with you according to the Word of God. Why? Why the Word? Because that's what gets results. First-time guests. I believe do we have first-time guests, Miss Jane? Jane's going to help you find, on behalf of Pastor and Mrs. Hagen and Pastor Craig, who asked me to come over here tonight. They've got a gift ready for you. And on behalf of the Ramah Bible Church, Oklahoma City Church family. Amen. Let's all stand together. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be strong in the grace. Amen. Be strong in the grace. Tell your neighbor, be strong in grace. Amen. You can be dismissed. God bless you. If you need prayer, come on up.